It's been an honor and a great privilege, certainly for me to be your interim pastor, and you have been so easy to shepherd. I heard of a man who had 10 sons, and his neighbor said to him, "How are your sons doing?" Well, he said, "You know, my first son is a banker." And he said, "Of course, the second son, he's a crook too. And the third one's a lawyer. And the fourth one, he's a liar too. And the fifth son, he's a teacher. And the sixth one, he's crazy too. The seventh one's a farmer. And the eighth one, he's dirty too. And the ninth one's a preacher. And the tenth one, he doesn't work for a living either." Now, there's a lot of people that have that attitude, but I want to say that a minister of the gospel can be at it 24/7. It never leaves his heart. It never leaves his soul. He just is there. And certainly it's been my privilege to have been and to be your interim pastor these days. You can turn your Bibles to Hebrews. We're looking at Jesus, the express image of God. I announced to you some months ago that we'll be going to the communion table looking at the second person of the Holy Trinity. And here in Hebrews chapter 1, we read these words, "God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person." And verse 4 of that text says, "He hath obtained a more excellent name than they." And then in the book of Colossians, I read to you, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible or invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." And then Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, says, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your presence. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for the word. And Father, this morning I ask that our hearts would be challenged again as we look to your Son, our blessed Savior and Lord. My theme is Jesus, the express image of God. Paul had a profound regard for this noun, for the name of his Lord and Savior whom he loved and served. The name of the second person of the Trinity Paul refers to repeatedly is the image. And may God help us to see its significance this morning. First of all, I want to say that Jesus is the express image of the excellency of God. David said, "How excellent is thy name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens." And that word excellent means glorious and majestic. Jesus was made so much better than the angels. He obtained a more excellent name. It is Christ who reveals the excellency of God. Moses sang of this excellency. In the book of Exodus, he said, "Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders?" The immortal, invisible, eternal God, the God who dwells in the light which no man can approach, God who is past finding out, the God who fills heaven, the God who says, I fill heaven and earth. Separate from the sinners, as far as the heaven is from the earth. He can be known now in the person of Jesus Christ. Now we can know the only true God, for Jesus Christ is his express image. Not only is he an expression of the excellency of God, but secondly, I find Jesus is the express image of God in the flesh. John says repeatedly, God so loved the world that he gave us his Son. God loved the world and sent his Son and sent himself to this world. It was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And the mystery of the Godhead, which was hid, Paul said, in ages past, this great mystery, God manifested in the flesh, is now revealed. Jesus, in the kenosis passage in Philippians 2, was the very form of God, and that form dwelt among us. Isaiah the prophet made it so clear when he said, Jehovah's visit to this earth would be entitled Emmanuel, God with us. And the light of the world that shone that day in Bethlehem of Judea was the image of the invisible God. Paul said, or John says, we know that the Son of God is come, hath given us an understanding that we may know him, the true God, and we are in him, even in his Son, and this is the true God. Now, no man has seen God at any time. God said to Moses, no man can see me and live, and yet the Son has revealed him to us. Jesus is God in the flesh. The story is told of Daniel Webster. Daniel Webster was an orator, a statesman, and a senator. Those are the kind of people that ran this country back in the 1700s, 1800s. Godly men. And Daniel Webster, in the prime of his life, was in a situation where he was dining with other literary men in Boston. And during the dinner, the conversation came up about Christianity. And Webster very quickly said to them, and very frankly, he said, I believe in the deity of Christ and his atoning work on Calvary for my salvation. He's my Savior. And then one of the men said, Mr. Webster, can you comprehend how Christ could be both God and man? And this was his answer. He said, no, sir, I cannot comprehend it. If I could comprehend him, he would be no greater than myself, and I feel that I need a superhuman Savior. Jesus is the express image of God in the flesh. Jesus is also the express image of the person of God. Jesus is the image of his person. That word exact image means to be perfect, the perfect image, the very image. The express image means the exact image, the perfect image. Jesus was not a type of God. He wasn't a likeness to God. He wasn't the closest thing there was to God. Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus could say, I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you have seen the Heavenly Father. In Colossians, Paul says, in whom are hid all the treasures of God, and in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Greek word of his person means of his substance, of his essence. He is the exact image, like an engraver, like an inscriber, or like an impression that's made with a die, is stamped. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will send you another. That word another in Hebrew, in John 14, means the exact likeness of myself. I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send you another, just like me. Now, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three manifestations of one God. They're equal in essence and substance and power. You ask me, can you explain the Trinity? No, I can't. No, there's not a living person that can. It's by faith we believe it. The more you try to explain it, the further you get into difficulty. There are some things we simply believe by faith. Jesus said, I am equal. All that God is, I am. Jesus said to the Jews in his day, and it stirred him up, he said, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. When God wanted to bring his people out of Egypt, he sent Moses. He said, I want you to go down and say to Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses said, what am I going to tell them who sent me? And God said, Moses, you tell them, I am sent you. I am that I am that I am. I am God and there's none else. I am and was and is to come. He's the very person of God. I am the mighty God. I am the Prince of Peace. I am the everlasting Father. Jesus is the express image of God, the person of God. Jesus is the express image of God to the soul. To as many as receive Jesus, I mean, we receive him by faith. When I left church last Sunday, I had to go buy gas. I don't like to buy on Sunday, but I went to buy gas, and I went into the service station, talked friendly to the waiter that was there, and I said, I missed you in church today. Well, she knows I'm a preacher. She wasn't sure where I preach these days. And she said, I know, I'm working. And I said, yes, some people have to work. She said, I try to do good, and I want to do good. Well, I said, it's not doing good that's going to get us to heaven. We've got to receive Christ. We've got to personally receive him. And it gave me an opportunity to talk to her. We ought to make opportunities. I find that when I leave here today, I'm going to have to go to maybe a couple hospitals. I'm just going to engage someone and talk to him about my Lord and Savior. What better thing can you talk about? And we know that he's the express image next of God to the soul. We receive him. We become sons of God, it says in John 1:12, to as many receive him, they have been given the power to become the sons of God, which were born not of the flesh or the will of man, which were born of God. And in chapter 3, that new birth is explained how we become Christians. It's by the new birth and by receiving him into us, the very nature of God in the person of the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The very image of God dwells within us. As we bore the image of the earthy, Paul said, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. We bear Adam's image, which with a natural birth, and with the new birth, we're to bear the image of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul could say, it is not I, but Christ that liveth in me. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not my faith, it's his faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not I, but Christ. And I do not imitate Christ. I'm not trying to find fault with the classic writer Thomas A. Kempis. He was a great man. He lived in the 1400s. And he could have been a reformer. He was a godly man. He could have been a reformer along with Luther. I'm not trying to find fault with his book, but I am saying that we do not consciously try to imitate Christ. We don't go around thinking, I'm going to consciously imitate Christ, but rather we would fail doing that, but we subconsciously. His image is manifested in our being. Christianity is not acting, it's not pretending, it's not a performance, it's Christ living in me. The image of the invisible God in earthen vessel. I am to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said to the church at Ephesus, you're to grow up, let him grow, be no longer children, but grow up to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. We're to be like him. One of the early writers in America was Nathaniel Hawthorne, and he told the story of the of the great stone face. There was a certain people that were governed by a king who died prematurely. He was so kind and loving and fair. They weren't going to have another monarch over them until they could find someone just like him. So for years, commissioned men were out hunting for someone to replace that king. They searched everywhere. Years went by. They had made an image of that monarch, put it up on the hill, cut out so everyone could see it. And after years, they came to the base of that hill and they saw a face that reminded them of him. It was a boy who day by day, simply plowing the ground and planting the seed and harvesting it and cutting wood, would look up at that image, that which speaks of courage and purity and determination. Day by day, his thoughts were shaped as he allowed them to dwell in his mind, and he became like that dead king. Now, that's just a story, but I want to say by looking and looking and looking to Jesus, looking and looking and looking to him, his image ought to be transferred into us. We're going to be changed. He's coming, and we're going to be like him, literally. The Bible says that he shall change our bodies and fashion them like unto his glorious body. And when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And fifthly, Jesus is the express image of the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Jesus is the living Word. In 1 John, John says this, chapter 1, verse 1, that which we have heard and seen and looked upon, and our hands have handled the Word of life. The Word of life. And then in chapter 5, he says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. He is the Word. Now, John says, we've heard him speak. We've seen him. We've looked. We've handled him. I don't know what they did when it says we touched him, handled him, whether they would have been fishing. And I can't imagine him giving a hi-fi. He might have. Jesus on board ship. He was human. And give an embrace and say, well, thank the Lord. But it says we handled him. We touched him. We heard him preach and we saw him. He's the Word. And when our Lord returns again, when the trumpet sounds and the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, when he comes, let me read to you what it says in Revelation 19. I saw heaven opened and a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he was clothed with a vesture, and he had a name written, and his name is called the Word of God. He is the Word of God. The Bible is so unique. Jesus said, search the scriptures, they testify of me. And I want to say to you again today that the Word of God is found in every book of the Bible, every chapter, every verse, every line. Talks about Jesus. He's there. And I want to say to you, you cannot understand the written word until you fall in love with the living word. Do you want to know the word of God? Love the living word. The more you love Jesus, the more you will know his word. I hope you can say with David, oh, how I love thy word. God will reveal truth to babes, but he'll hide it from the cold heart. Jesus prayed this prayer in Luke 10:21. Father, thank you that you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent, that is from the learned, the intelligent, the wise, and have revealed them unto babes, just simple folks, unskilled folks. Like us. Yes. God has spoken by the prophets. Now he's spoken to us by his Son, the Word. John Wademacher was one of country's greatest merchants. He would have been the Sam Walton of his day, or he would have been whoever started when I was a kid. Other stores like Sears, Montgomery Ward. John Wademacher started stores in the 1800s. When he died in 1900, he was worth $20 billion. And someone asked him about his dealings. He was being interviewed by the New York Herald Tribune. He said, "Dealing with Million, what was your greatest venture?" And this is what he said. "When I was a country boy at age 11, I made my biggest purchase. In a little mission Sunday school, I bought from my teacher a small red leather Bible. It cost me $2.75, and I paid it in installments as I saved my money. That was the greatest purchase I ever made, for that Bible made me what I am today, an honest, fair businessman. I trust it. You have a love for the Word of God that supersedes everything else. Jesus is the express image of the Word of God." And then sixthly, I want to say that Jesus is the express image of God's love. Love is mentioned in the Old Testament a number of times. Moses said that to the children of Israel, "God set his love upon you. He loved you because he is faithful and he keeps his covenant." It's mentioned in the Old Testament. They didn't truly understand it. He said of Jacob, "Have I loved?" Through the prophet Jeremiah, he says, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Yet the people said, "Wherein hast thou loved us?" Solomon, in all of his wisdom, said this in Ecclesiastes 9:1, "I considered in my heart, and no man knoweth love." And yet we read that an angel came down from heaven and said to Daniel, "You're greatly beloved." God used Hosea to illustrate his love. "I love my children. I draw them with cords of love. And yet my people do not know. They do not understand." And I want to go down on record this morning by saying, outside of Jesus Christ and Calvary, we cannot know the love of God. It's Jesus who is the express image of God's love. Let me read to you in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul said, "I fall on my knees for you folks." That's what it says. "I go to my knees in prayer for you, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length, the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ that passeth understanding." This love transcends the human mind. It goes beyond human knowledge. And the only way we can know God loves us is to go to Calvary. St. Paul's Cathedral in London, there's a life-size marble statue of a cross with Christ on it, and beneath it are these words, "This is how God loved the world. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." He's the express image of God's love. He died for the likes of us. Yesterday I was thinking, that love so transcends us. Is there anyone here that would give his life for Charles Manson? You know who he is? Would you die for him? Jesus did. We can't know the love of God apart from Jesus Christ. Let me close by saying, seventhly, Jesus is the express image of salvation. God's wonderful and full salvation is expressed in Jesus. There's salvation and none other. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Do you know that the evangelical Christian today is a religious bigot? Because we say Jesus is the only way to heaven. Oprah said the cross is not the only way to heaven. There's other ways. I wouldn't believe this had I not heard it and seen it. On the Larry King interview, Joel Osteen was being interviewed. "Nothing as blasphemous and from hell have I ever heard," Larry King said to this pastor. "Could you say that Jesus, and would you say that Jesus is the only way to heaven?" And Osteen said, "No, I can't say that. There could be other ways." I heard him say it. If I read it, I wouldn't believe it. Jesus is the express image of God's salvation. We're not looking for another way, another person, another sacrifice, another priest, another feeling. Our salvation is in Jesus only. And Jesus warned about those who would try to climb up some other way to steal his glory and to take away the atoning work of Calvary. Jesus is the great God and our Savior. He died for all that all might be saved. He's the rock, the foundation. I want to ask you this morning, do you have a right relationship to Christ? Paul said, by looking to Jesus, and I'm reading from 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are changed into the same image. As we go after Christ, we're changed into the same image, even by the Spirit of the Lord. My Christian friend, are you being formed into the image of Christ? Do I bear in my body the marks of the invisible God? Has he made his abode in me so that the express image of God can be seen, produced in me a Christ-likeness? Do people take knowledge that you've been with Christ? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for loving us and giving us your Son, the one who is the express image, the brightness of your glory. And Father, this morning, if there's one here who has never come to Calvary, may they come. And Father, search our hearts and try us. Whether or not Christ is being formed in us and we're growing up into the stature of the fullness of Christ. Father, everyone who has been to the cross, may they come to this table with anticipation and joy and thanksgiving for your love manifested to us at Calvary. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.